good? It's good. Amen. Hey, did you know that we're doing 3 Christmas Eve services this year? Whoa! If you were at Christmas Eve services last year, you know that we needed to expand because we were packed out for 2 services, and so we've added an earlier one in case some people wanted to do a little bit of get to the service and then go get to the turkey or whatever you might do, get to your present, whatever it might be. 2, 4, and 6 are the services that we're doing this year, and I'm gonna speak in a second, but before I just want to mention and invite you to take part in helping us out. Christmas Eve is an important time of the year for us. We decorate. We do Christmas series. All of this Christmas Eve stuff because we believe that this is a great time for us to invite people to come hear the greatest story ever told, the greatest truth ever existed, the hope of the world. Jesus Christ came to the earth, was born, landed, and the God's reconciliation story was written and finalized in that moment. And so we want to be able to tell people that. So Christmas Eve, I want you to consider today whether or not you might be able to help us and serve at that. A lot of people come from the city. We're expecting that we'll likely have over 1,000 people through here on that day. And we would love for the church to be able to be there to help. So we have a worship team that will be there for all 3 services. I'll be there for all 3 services. We have some team that will be there for all 3 services, and our pastoral team and such. But maybe you'd consider just serving at 1 service and coming and helping us, shake some hands, welcome people, whatever it might look like. I just want to put that little bug in your ear because at the end of the service, we're going to ask you if you might sign up for that. And it's just, that would just be really, really amazing for us to feel like we're not limping into a Christmas Eve where the whole city is coming, but in fact, we're the church welcoming people to the story of Jesus. So there you go. There's the little, you know, just keep that in your heart. Allow the Lord to do with it what He will. Okay, we're working through this series now. We're just starting it, and we're going to carry on through this series up until Christmas. And actually, next week, here at our Courtney campus, Pastor Brian Aiken is going to be preaching. Isn't that awesome? Come on! Our new pastor who's joined us just in November, he's going to be sharing with you, and it's exciting for us to have him speak. But we're going to be talking about the gift, and specifically looking at these magi that we hear about in the Bible. Some would call them wise men or kings, but they were these astrologers, basically, who came and gave gifts to Jesus and are often part of the nativity story. We're going to be looking at the gifts they brought, why they brought those gifts, and what those things said about Jesus. Because gifts say something about the giver, and they say something about the receiver. Sort of the specifics of a gift usually are determined by how well you know the person who's receiving the gift. You know, if you're going to give a gift to someone that you don't know all that well, usually it's going to be something fairly generic, something fairly simple. You know, it's a gift card. Who doesn't love a gift card? It's cash. Anyone love cash? Come on. Maybe it's just a card that says, hey, Merry Christmas. Someone that we don't know that well, we just give them something like that. But someone that we know better, someone that we know more, often we sort of put some more thought into it and try to figure out what is it that person would love, what would light them up, what would get them all excited, what do they need, what would it be that I could give them that would cause them to receive well. So the gift speaks a lot about the giver and the receiver. Sometimes I've received gifts that made me question if people know me that well. One of those gifts came from my mom. I thought she knew me, but my brother's 4 years older than me, and so for our whole years growing up, he was a lot bigger than me, and I was a lot smaller. So like, he would get large shirts, I would get small, and he would get crop top, my belly's hanging out, like, so thank you so much, Mom. So sometimes, like, Mom, do you know who I am? You know, do you know me at all? This gift sort of suggests that you think I am some little boy. I'm a man now. I've balded, so I'm a man. True men bald, isn't that what we say? hallelujah. I've never said that before, but I might start. I remember Kendall and I one time, we thought we'd give a gift to a neighbor. And our neighbor was going through a hard time. They had a family that was, they were walking through some medical stuff. We were caring for them, praying for them, regularly talking to them. And I thought, okay, you know what, we should take them a gift. Why don't we take them dinner? You know, we'll take them dinner over to their house. This will be great. They'll really appreciate the gift that we give. Well, we made this beautiful lasagna. It was awesome. Caesar salad. And I don't know what else we took. All these beautiful things. We take them over to their house. And we're like, here you go. This is a great gift for you. We love you. And they're like, okay, well, that's really nice. But that has gluten. And I am deathly allergic to gluten. So that has to actually leave my house altogether. Like, oh, okay. Sorry. You know, walk off. Like, you don't know what, I guess we didn't know you as well as we thought, or we thought this was a good gift, but maybe it didn't actually turn out. The gift speaks a lot about a relationship. It speaks a lot about who you're giving to. It speaks a lot about the person who's giving the gift. You know, if you're buying for a gift for your dad, it'd probably be different than you buy for your son. You know, I remember when I was a kid, my dad always wanted basically the same thing every single Christmas, a belt. I was always like, Dad, I want to get you something awesome. What could I get you? I'm thinking, like, what kind of remote control car could I get you? Or, like, what, you know, what could be something awesome? I want to get you, like, throwing knives or something. He's like, how about a belt? Like, every year a belt, you know. And which, how about what color, Dad? Can we get one with, like, spikes on it or something like that? He's like, brown this year, black next year. That'll be fine. You know, that's what my dad wanted. But if on the flip side, if he had given me a belt for Christmas, I would have, like, chucked it back in his face. Like, get me toys, you know. Because we all want something different. We all are in different stages of life. We're all at different spots. And so the gift speaks a lot about who we are, about the relationship we have, about the giver that's giving it. It sort of tells a story a little bit. Each gift does. And the gifts that the Magi were going to bring were going to tell a story. They're going to tell a story about who they believed this Savior was, who they believed this new king was going to be, who this was that the stars were talking about. And they didn't want to bring just, you know, I mean, a regular gift to bring for a baby shower or to a baby. Someone has a new baby is like diapers, probably. Like, they could have just shown up with diapers, except they probably didn't exist then, some sort of loincloth or something. But they weren't going to show up with the Huggies, because there was no such thing. But also, Jesus was likely not a baby anymore when these guys showed up. Lots of scholars believe that he was probably 2 or even older than that by the time that they actually made it to him. And then the other thing is that they wanted to give a specific gift, and actually they gave prophetic gifts to Jesus. They gave him gifts that actually started speaking about who he was, who he was going to become. They gave gifts that were actually gifts of worship, gifts that would reveal to them, reveal to others, and remind Jesus, remind his family of who this being was, who this new baby was, who this God in flesh was, who this King of the Jews was. They came with gifts that would tell that story. They came with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about gold first week, frankincense next week, and myrrh after that. So we're going to look at this story with these guys first. In Matthew 2:1-2, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east. Now that phrase, just so you know, that's a pretty loaded phrase, Magi from the east. If you've been in church for a long time, if you've heard the Christmas story before, you know that this is a pretty common thing. People just read it, yeah, Magi from the east, and it doesn't mean much. But Magi from the east means a ton. First of all, they're magi. Magi are people who are likely, the best definition for them is astrologers. In other words, their understanding of the whole world was they just looked at stars and tried to make a story out of the stars. And they tried to tell the story of stars. They tried to explain away everything, how it was, based on what the stars magi are here, magi who don't know anything about the law of Moses, who don't know anything about following all the rules of the Old Testament, who don't know anything about being the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from the Old Testament. Magi are part of the story. This is magi from the east. We don't even know what city. It doesn't even tell us what city they're from. It's just somewhere far away. All that we're meant to know in this moment is that they're definitely outsiders who believe different things, who think differently, who definitely aren't here. There's someone else. There's someone far from us. There's someone beyond this. There's someone there. They're not meant to be here. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. So what's God going to do with these magi? And they asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. I love this. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about that scene. These magi have been searching the sky and the stars for their entire lives, trying to figure out, trying to make truth of something. They're trying to understand something. Okay, if that one's aimed that way, what is that going to mean? Okay, maybe this is where we need to be looking for this. Okay, what's going to happen? When that happened, there was an earthquake. Oh, when that happened, we saw a sickness sweep through. Oh, when that happened, there was a birth. Okay, and they're trying to read all these things and trying to make of some sort of truth. And then I don't know what kind of star has to all of a sudden arise that they go, boom, king of the Jews is born. It's like, ding, 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 king of Jews. Yay! And then away they go. I don't know what it would look like. But they're looking at the stars like, what happened? What would it look like? I don't know what it looked like, but I do know this. I do know that God knew how to speak to those people. He knew the message that they would hear. And the other thing he knew is that they would be able to read that message when no one else was able to read that message. This was God's exclusive invitation to them to come to the birth, to come to the child story, to come to the message of Jesus Christ. This wasn't Jesus' message. It was just like a big Facebook event that was like, hey, anyone who's interested in the area, come on out. These guys weren't in the area. They didn't know have any friends that were connected to these people. They didn't know Mary and Joseph. They weren't part of the family. They didn't have the book of the law of Moses. They didn't have anything. And God goes, I want them to come. I want you to think about that. God could have chosen any. He could have just put a star right there. Bing! No, he put a star over to them and then let them follow it over to this. This was the moment. Jesus didn't just go, hey, everybody, there's a birthing happening here, which would be a really weird announcement, by the way, but it's right over here. Come on up. No, he took the star and he went to them. He said, I have a specific and exclusive invitation for you who are far from me. And I'm going to give it to you in a language you understand. The stars. God speaks a star. God made them. He knows how to speak a star. And these people were pursuing truth in a way that is so far from the biblical understanding of pursuing truth. And yet God goes and reaches out and says, I will use your language and I will invite you to be part of the greatest thing, greatest moment in history, greatest story ever to take place, ever. Come on. I think more, maybe, than the gift that they brought, more than what they brought to him, a greater understanding of who Jesus is and who God is who he invited to come and be part of it. He invited magi and shepherds, two rejected groups in society. These guys then traveled probably at least 1,200 kilometers to get there. It likely took several years before they actually landed in the spot that they were supposed to be. They had no reason to go there other than the star has spoken to them. They had gotten this exclusive invite. And in Matthew 2:3-8, we keep going. And they showed up to Jerusalem where the Jews, like this is the hub, this is where everything goes down, this is where the king of the Jews, Herod, lives. And they show up to King Herod. It says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Now hold up a second. You can imagine the scene. Hello! Like, these guys look way different. They are way different. They're somewhere from the east. They come in and they go, hey, Herod, how are you? We are just here to worship the king of the Jews that was just born. And they're talking to Herod, who's the king of the Jews. Like, I'm a grown man. I wasn't just born. Like, trying to take my throne? Like, who's trying to usurp me? Who is trying to come after me? That doesn't make sense. Who are you people? And realistically, if someone just walked in the door right now and said, hey, I'm here because the star told me to come, you would all be like, oh, come with me over here. Let's get a coffee and go to a special helper for you named a psychologist. Like, we would say, so there would be something kind of crazy about that. It's no less crazy in this moment. This is the same thing. It's not surprising that people are like, right. Like, it's interesting that we as all Christians, and you may not be a Christian in this room, but you who are Christian, you've read this story a million times. Like, yeah, no problem. Listening to the stars, following them to Jesus, of course. Meanwhile, if someone said that to you about, you know, you're in the grocery store, say, hey, I just want you to know the star just pointed me here and I'm going to do this. You'd be like, okay, you stay there. I'm going to walk away. Like, that's how we'd behave if someone did that. And yet we've been so happy to just take this as part of our story. Like, oh yeah, of course, following a star. Of course, happens every time I read this. And that's the only time I've ever accepted it. God doesn't do things that the only how we would understand it. He does. God doesn't do things. We all think we should follow this certain method, and once this is followed, then people can come to know Jesus, and then people can come be a part of the story, then people can come and meet this baby, then people can come and hear about Jesus. But Jesus is over here while Herod and his Jews who have followed the bloodline, who think that they're the inheritance, think that they get the inheritance, think that they're the favored ones, the loved ones, the ones that God cares about. While they're all, you know, sitting there being that, these guys show up who should have never heard about this story if it was based on their accolades, if it was based on their bloodline, if it was based on their family, if it was based on how well they followed the law. They should have never heard this story. And meanwhile, while these people all have the Bible and the law and the rules and have been following them and been doing everything that they can to do that, over here, God's been inviting some magi from the east to come on in and experience this thing with me. Come on and take part in this thing with me. And now the magi are coming to the Jews and saying, your Messiah is born. Isn't that great? And it says Herod is disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, in other words, all the people who know everything about what they should know about the Messiah, about God, about the prophecies, about this baby that would be born, all the people that should know all of this stuff, he calls them in and says, can we get a credible source here? Because these magi are crazy, and then let's see what we're actually dealing with. search our whole lives in the stars to figure out what was true, what was going to happen. We've searched for a long time. And then we had that moment. You remember the moment? And you remember it? Yeah, yeah. When all of a sudden the star rose and we're like, ding, ding, ding. Baby Jew King is here. It's awesome. Like, let's go and find him. And the star started leading us and we followed and followed and followed. And then we saw Herod. That was weird. And then we got over here and then what? We're there. We're there. We found it. I would love if this church was filled with people who've been searching for truth in all the wrong places for their whole life, and yet God has used that search to just pull them to himself and reveal Jesus Christ to them. And when they show up and see that Jesus, they say, we made it. We made it. I see him. I know it now. My entire pursuit of my life is showing up now. I can recognize what you've been doing this whole time, God. And there it is. The star's been leading me. I got here, and no one understands why we followed a star. No one understands why God would speak to us with a star. No one understands why it would be magi from the east who are here, and yet we have an exclusive invite in the shape of a star that has led us here. Not anyone else, but us here. Oh, I would love it. That was our church this Christmas season. They were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Next few weeks, we'll talk about what that meant, what they were doing with that. Worship team, you can come on up and join me. As this finishes up in Matthew 2:12, it says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. You know, I feel like there's some real practical things to that scripture. The practical things are Herod would have killed them, and Herod wanted to kill the, and if they told him where, told Herod where the baby was, Herod would have come and killed that baby as well. So there are some practical things to that they're like, well, we shouldn't do that. There's this dream, so God's speaking to them in different ways as well. But I think one of the things that's good for us to recognize as well is that these people were living, were seeking truth in the place that they can't find truth. You can't find truth in the stars. The stars aren't truth in themselves. God is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. You can't find truth in the stars. They are searching the stars for truth. And what the stars did do is pointed them to truth. God used the stars as their invite. God used the stars because it was their language. They spoke star, and God came and spoke star to them and said, let me reorient your faith from the sky to this baby. I want to shape that. And so as that happened, all of a sudden everything felt right and true for them, that they walked this path for a long way in their life. It was the wrong path, and yet God used the wrong path to lead them to the right place, Jesus Christ. They saw Jesus Christ. They experienced Jesus Christ. They started hearing about Jesus Christ. They started reading Scripture and discovering, because actually they go through Scripture and they can see prophecies and they can see all this stuff about what that baby was going to receive. They all of a sudden are fulfilling prophecy when they go and give gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so they see the stars. They start studying. They start learning. They start realizing. And this wrong path led them to the right place. When they got to that right place, they turned around and they knew they couldn't go on the same path out of there. They were going to walk a new path in life. There's going to be some people this Christmas season who follow the very wrong path, and yet it's going to lead them to the right place. They're going to discover Jesus Christ. And when they discover him, they're going to recognize that the path I've been walking wasn't the right path, and I need to walk a new one home. I need to walk a new one. It's going to give me life, and it's going to give me hope. I have new purpose because I've experienced the truth, and I know it. These guys didn't just come and give him gifts. They bowed down, gave him gifts, and worshipped him. Now, that is crazy to me. No one taught the Magi who this was. Herod was trying to deny that this was true. His chief priests, the teachers of the law, all these top dogs of that whole thing, they didn't even want to tell these guys what it was all about. Meanwhile, these guys go and fulfill prophecy written in the Bible. Prophecy written 600 years ago. They go and fulfill that prophecy by giving Jesus the gifts that he was supposed to be given. See, God, when he gets up to sometimes think that we got, okay, let me see here. We're going to look through who should come to the Christmas Eve service. Let's see here. Herods, yes. Chief priests, yeah. Teachers of the law, yes. Those are all good people. They should be gathered around this good Jesus. People who have done the right things, they should be gathered around this good Jesus. And while we're trying to figure all that out and figuring out our guest list, Jesus is out there inviting the Far East people, the Magi people, the people who are far from Him, seeking truth, longing for truth, and He's going to point them to the truth that they need. Can we as a church be praying that that would happen? Praying that those who are far off would be discovering Jesus? I have a friend in this church. I'm just reminded of his story. He grew up in a home that was religious. He's Catholic. Turned away from that. Rejected all of that. And eventually started feeling like, well, I'm not living for any truth, though. There's nothing, no truth in my life. He pursued a number of other religions intentionally, saying, I want to find truth. I want to know what it is. Eventually, he came to the place where he realized this is only Jesus. Jesus is the only truth. He's part of our church, part of this community where he's discovered Jesus is the only way. I've looked everywhere else, and I've given it a solid effort, and the only place is Jesus. See, the reality is when we seek out truth in this world, when we actually seek it, not when we go, oh, I know it, and now I'm just going to fight for it. No, when we seek out truth, we will discover that Jesus is it every time. And when we taste and see Him, all of a sudden, the path that used to be good for us is no longer good for us. And we walk a new path in life. That with a new purpose, to simply glorify this One that came to save and to change everything. That's what this Christmas season is about. So I want to give you a chance to respond to this message. Some of you, I want you to think about who you're inviting. I don't think there's a better time in the whole year to consider who you're inviting to be part of this journey with you. Maybe that's to a Christmas Eve service. Maybe that's to be in your home for a turkey dinner. Maybe it's just to go for coffee and talk about this. Maybe it's just to come to church next week. I don't know. Who are you inviting to be part of this with you? Because God, I know who God's inviting. He's inviting these Magi. God's putting stars in the sky to those who watch stars. He said, hey, come over here. I'll show you what you're actually looking for. Who are you inviting? Is there a certain person that you say, I can only invite this type of person, but not that type of person? Because God's not saying that. God's saying, everyone, once they catch a taste of me, will know that this is all they need. Who are you inviting to be part of this with you? Are you planning on inviting them to Christmas? To learn this with you. The next thing I want to ask you is the birth of Jesus and the story of Jesus, are you allowing it to shape your life, or are you hoping your life shapes it? Because Herod wanted his life to shape this story. No, I'm not ready for the story of Jesus right now. I'm not ready for the Messiah right now. I want to walk in my own pride right now, thank you very much. I want everyone to look to me right now. I want to serve myself right now. I want to take care of me right now, so I'm going to avoid learning about some of the scriptures. I'm going to avoid understanding about when this Messiah is coming because I'm about me right now. Are you doing that? Are you saying, Jesus, you're born so everything changes, I'll walk whatever path you want? Or are you saying, I'll stick to my path. Would you come and meet me here, God? Because Jesus will say, I have a new path. Here's a star, follow it. And it's going to point to the One who will change your life. When you walk away, you'll walk a whole new path. The right path that you used to walk won't feel so right anymore. And maybe today, as we sort of kick off this Christmas season, maybe today you're here and you're hearing about this Jesus, and that's something new to you. You never heard about Jesus before. Or you never knew that Jesus was making sure that the invitees to his party were Magi from the East. Maybe you felt like a Magi from the East. Maybe you felt like someone who's looking at all sorts of other truth. Maybe you felt like you've been far out. the out crowd was being invited by him to the birthing story of Jesus Christ. If you've been the out crowd up till now, Jesus is inviting you in. He's saying, do you want this? Do you want what I have for you? Stop pursuing truth anywhere else. This is it. So maybe you can bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment, giving people privacy. If you're here today, say, I think I've been outside of it, and I'm recognizing even right now that Jesus is tugging on my heart. He's pulling me in. He's pulling me to truth. He's pulling me to His story. He's pulling me to a path that would look different than any other path I've walked on before. If today that's you and you're saying, I'm seeing that, I'm recognizing that, I want to walk that new path, I want to experience that new thing, if that's the case for you today, all you have to do in this moment is say, yes, Jesus, I receive that truth. Jesus, I see you as the one way. Jesus, I see that path for me now. Jesus, I recognize that you are the hope in my life. You are the hope of the world, and I want you for me. I want to turn to you. If you want that today, you can just say yes to Jesus. He's invited you. Would you just say yes? And so if that's you, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Say yes to Jesus. That's me. God bless. Yeah, yes to Jesus. Yeah, God bless you. Yes to Jesus. I want that. I want that new path. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, thank you that you give us a new path to walk. That path isn't a path that's strenuous. So it's, oh, I just hate this path. Lord, first, before you ask us to walk that path, you give us a revelation of you. So God, I just thank you that today you've been showing yourself to people. You've been allowing people to recognize you. You've been allowing people to have that revelation of you, much like the Magi had, where they saw the star and somehow in that moment they knew that everything changed. They knew there was something to go and pursue. They knew there was something to go and worship. They knew there was something they had to go and discover and find. And their life's pursuit had come to an end. The life's purpose had come to